Men's Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Man in Line's on now. We're open line through till 1 o'clock. So call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. I walk through Bradaglen every day, and at this time of the year, it's looking beautiful, says Julia. However, it's that problem again in Bradaglen, the problem of irresponsible dog owners not picking up after their pets, spoiling everybody else's enjoyment. Most dog owners are responsible and do pick up, but those who don't, and you know who you are, says Julia, please think of children stepping into this mess. Customers walk into the cafe, visitors to the Isle of Man. We got a load today on the cruise liner who just want to enjoy a walk without having to look down on the ground constantly. Are there dog wardens in the south of the Isle of Man? The Isle of Man is beautiful. Please, let's keep it this way. Thank you, Julia. Bradaglen, if you head that way, is that problem still there? My word. Stevie said, I just want to follow up on some comments that were made about ID checks. I agree. I disagree with some points and disagree with others. I agree that showing ID is futile unless there's some sort of check. Comments that it'll be impossible to check the names on the list of travellers against a database. Incorrect. It's very simple to check names against a UK database, or even the USA, or Interpol for that matter. Is it Europol now? For people who, with outstanding arrest warrants, people that may be on a terrorist watch list, and people of interest to the security services. These people would be immediately flagged in the system and could be detained and questioned immediately. The technology is there, it's very mature, but connection to these databases is key. Otherwise, I agree, there's very little point in checking ID. So is the connection there? He talked about a chap who might have been released from prison for whatever crime and seemed to think there was a legal right to prevent somebody coming here. Well, unless there's a visa system completely separate from the UK and the common travel area, we'll never have this. And nobody has a legal right to think we can prevent people coming to the Isle of Man with a criminal record if they've served their time, if they've discharged their responsibility to society. There is nothing that can stop people. We're not the USA, and I'm glad of that, says Stevie. And Julian's first with us today. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Well, this is a nice run of good weather, isn't it?
For the rest of this week, apparently. Let's hope it. Am I going to jinx it by saying let's hope it stays okay for TT?
Don't look at the BBC long term weather for Thursday onwards. Don't look at that.
Okay.
hopefully, only a blip. 20-mile-an-hour zones. I think we've been hearing that certain roads are getting the things up, so I think The pause is over. Just a bit of context. We spoke a while ago about the international consultancy firm Arup, who were contracted to create several reports, the Isle of Man Future Energy Scenarios report, which recommended renewables like wind turbines here. They also did a world one called Future of Urban Consumption report that recommended that by 2030 there should be no private vehicle ownership, no meat or dairy consumption, limits to 3 new pieces of clothing a year, and 1 short-haul flight allowance, but only every 3 years. So Arup has also published a report called Walking for Everyone. And if anyone looks at this Arup report, Walking for Everyone, on page 14 of this Arup report, it states, national governments should make 20 miles per hour the default speed limit in built-up areas and reduce the speed limit in rural areas on single carriageway roads, i.e. not dual carriageways. And the Isle of Man, as far as I remember, has only got 2, I think, which is Santon and the airport. So As it's become apparent that the pause to the 20-mile-an-hour rollout announced by the DOI Minister, Tim Crookall, has restarted in Douglas, and I believe there's poles and 20-mile-an-hour signage along the likes of Selborne Road and Drive, Hildersley Road, etc., that have been installed in the last few days. We've talked as well about this 20-mile-an-hour thing, the Chief Constable's statement, no safety statistics to warrant a 20-mile-an-hour rollout. Other problems like fitting in deliveries from Tesco, social care visits to vulnerable people at home, haulage companies, taxis, I mean, you name it. If you're doing a third slower speed, it's going to impact on things like that. But I'm open-minded, so I'd like to understand why the government think that this is a good idea, which they clearly do. And I think there is a uniquely qualified person in government who might be able to offer an explanation. And that person is the new director of highway services at the DOI, Gary Saunders. And the reason he might be uniquely qualified is that prior to working at the DOI, he worked for 10 years as senior design engineer at the consultancy firm I just mentioned, Arup. So it might be a good idea for Gary Saunders to maybe make a statement on the merits of this current 20-mile-an-hour blanket rollout, or even a spot on your show, Andy, just so, because I'm struggling to understand. You know, we've talked about dynamic signage and lights outside schools, 14-week school holidays, weekends, nighttime, this type of thing. But I just wonder if Gary Saunders, as he has been working at Arup, and they're the ones that have been recommending all this stuff, I wonder whether he might have some unique insights into things that I'm missing that would merit 20 mile an hour right across Douglas, Onchan, Colby, Port Erin, you name it, like Port St Mary's had.
It's interesting. I mean, you mentioned Selborne Road and Selborne Drive. I mean, first of all, they've got cars on one side of the road. You couldn't get up to 20 miles per hour on Selborne Road or Selborne Drive if you tried, to be quite honest. So it just seems like a little bit of overkill sticking a big sign up to say 20 miles per hour. And, well, we don't quite know. And certainly, I mean, the invitation will be given. I mean, the invitation has been given many times for people from the DOI to come on Man in Line. As yet, no response, Julian.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the two big organisations that have aligned with this. You've got the United Nations Street for Life campaign, and then you've got this Arup one, Walking for Everyone, which, I don't know, Walking for Everyone, I don't know, what, I suppose, does that tie in with their previous report, no private vehicle ownership by 2030? I don't know, it would be Walking for Everyone, more or less, wouldn't it?
Well, we'll see. And remember, reports are normally come to the conclusion that the people who want them, you know, want anyway. So it'd be interesting to see. I mean, Arup has been going for many years. It's, I think they're based in, I think they've got a big place in Dublin as well. But I mean, they're a billion pound company. They turn over a couple of billion a year, Arup, and they do reports for all sorts of people. So it would be interesting. But I mean, Walking for All, it's fine in principle, of course, unless it's the middle of winter on the Isle of Man, you're at the bottom of a big hill, and Walking for All then doesn't seem like the best idea.
Yeah, I know. There's a big company as well, 17,500 employees. And it's interesting that the C40 Future of Urban Consumption report was for the C40 cities, which is, you know, all the mayors of it. And the chair of that is Sadiq Khan. And I don't think he's been too popular with the ULEZ rollout around various places, including London and Oxford, etc. So it just makes you wonder, is this something that's sort of a big rollout and not taking into account the Isle of Man, you know, with our needs and lack of statistics? I mean, you know, it's literally, there are no statistics according to the Chief Constable. So I just wonder if this is a sort of a blanket thing across the world and the Isle of Man has to comply.
And that's really the nub of it. I mean, it depends whether you think the Isle of Man is part of the global village, whether we fall into line with everybody else, or, you know, whether it's our differences that make us different, in that, you know, there may be some things that are applicable elsewhere, but patently aren't applicable here, and, you know, sometimes seem a bit silly here.
And, you know, I mean, I've been out on the bike this morning around, and I remember you had a caller in who has a bike that he was saying it's doing damage literally to the bike and extremely difficult to handle if you've got to be hanging around at 20 mile an hour. None of the gears are really working well in it. It makes you wonder, are any of these things being thought of? You know, how are all these care companies that go around looking after elderly people at home who, you know, they want to stay at home, they don't want to be in a nursing home. I mean, they've got to run about and get people up and get them breakfast and, you know, help them and wash them and everything. I mean, you know, if you're going to be slowing everyone down, I mean, are they going to have to ramp up more cars and more staff, which is kind of counter to the whole idea that this is going to clean the air up? I just don't know. You know, haulage companies, are they going to increase their charges because of the fuel and changing the DPF filters on their trucks and stuff? Mm-hmm. I mean, is this being thought through properly?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Julian, thanks for calling today.
Thanks very much, Andy. Cheers.
16 minutes past one. Bill dropped a note in and said, have we had comment about regarding the 20 miles per hour, how it's going to affect emergency services call-out time? 70% of emergency services aren't on station when they get paged. They have to first drive to the station, then depart for an emergency. Fire, ambulance, Coast Guard, RNLI, Civil Defence. Remember, all fire station staff, all fire station bar Douglas, are manned by retained staff, along with the Coast Guard and RNLI. All of these services have staff on call. In effect, it's the call-out times. I think it's shocking. Thank you, and more notes in. I'm currently looking after my sister's dog while she's on holiday, so I've been walking in the Glen between Port Jack and Royal Avenue in Onchan. I see most people picking up after their dogs, but I've seen at least four deposits this week that have just been, well, you know, left. Since I have bags with me, I've actually picked them up. We shouldn't have to. Maybe other dog walkers could do the same if they have bags with them. I could also collect any litter I see on the way, and there are plenty of bins to use. Maybe if everyone took pride in their surroundings, it would rub off on those who wouldn't usually bother. Just a thought. Thank you, Sarah P. in Oncombe. It's antisocial behaviour, isn't it? And again, it's been mentioned many times, whether it's littering, whether it's dog mess, bad driving, riding bicycles on pedestrianised areas and pavements. These are people, how do you appeal to somebody's better nature when they patently don't display one? Here's David with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Just want to talk about facial recognition.
Yep.
And number plate recognition as well. Do you remember the Minister for Home Affairs, who I appreciate is doing things on this, but why can't we move it forward a little bit quicker than we are doing at the present time? Because it's you're not really hiding your face, but when you come on the airport or the sea terminal or whatever, it's only going to pick out the people they're looking for, isn't it? It's not going to pick out the local people. We're not interested in what the chief minister does all the time or the council ministers coming in and out of the Isle of Man. But those wins, if they were done and funds were put towards it, would certainly help us out. I've noticed, I don't know if anybody else has noticed it, the last few weeks there, I'm sure they're not on holiday, more private cars with English number plates on.
Interesting, isn't it?
Where we're losing revenue. And I'd love to find out, because when you say that nobody comes on from the DOI anymore, is to find out how many cars are registered in the Isle of Man now through the system. It's fairly, all they got to do is just look at the computer and go total and find out. Now, regarding the census, I still haven't got me census form, although I rang the other day, but then a fella rang me yesterday. I don't know how he knew who I was, because I didn't tell him my name when I left the message. I just said, I'm the occupier of blah, blah, blah in Onchan. And he rang me up and I asked him a direct question. I said to him, how many forms have you printed for the census? And do you know what he said?
Go on.
I can't tell you, Mr. Quirk. So how did he know my name? And what a simple question. Do we know, are they going to print them out tomorrow or whatever? It's Friday tomorrow, isn't it? There's no mail on a Saturday. So are we going to be breaking the law on Sunday if we don't fill the forms in?
Yeah, it's this doesn't feel like a census, does it? It doesn't feel official almost.
No. It's just weird, to tell you the truth. So we've wasted 80 pence getting a letter to tell us there's a census happening on Sunday, and if you want help or you want a paper form, you ring this number and you ring it up. And loads of people have said to me, I've rang the number up and hadn't had a response back. So I had a response, and the simple question I asked was, how many have you printed ready to put out? And the answer was, I can't tell you, Mr. X.
Well,
never mind.
It doesn't inspire confidence, does it? Because there'll be lots of places with multiple occupants or people who don't quite understand the necessity to do this. You just wonder whether we're going to get a correct figure and a picture of what exactly is.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to put out, say, 40,000 forms, are we going to get 40,000 back? And somebody said the other day the same thing. Houses of multiple occupation, where you could have maybe 6 or 7 or 10 individuals there in that particular dwelling. And what are they going to do with them when all these things are at the front of the flats, aren't they? They put them in the bin, don't they?
Yeah, okay.
And what do they say then when they ring up and tell them? He said, well, I never got one.
Yeah, that's quite... Yeah.
I'm not the occupier, but my name is X. You know, I never got one. But anyway, we'll see.
We'll see.
Friday's the last day because the government are always listening, Andy.
All right.
See you, boy.
Thanks for that. Good to hear from you today. Right. Let's get to Howard with us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just a curio. Last week, somebody was asking about the Solway Harvester Memorial up there on Douglas Head.
Yeah.
The DOI replied, there's nothing we can do about it. It doesn't belong to us. The land is private. And there's nothing they can do, although people will be looking after that memorial, hopefully, as it is a little bit of Whitehaven in memory of those lads. But there we are now. In the same breath, the government is saying we're going to make Douglas Head a conservation area. Now, if that is private lands, as quoted by the DOI, how can they make that a conservation area that will be looked after? Is it just another layer of bureaucracy that the government, and it'll probably be the DOI, are building up for themselves to take on another load of staff?
Yeah, I wonder.
Because the Solway Harvester Memorial, I remember that night well, that's 20 years, 24 years I think it is, or more. In the year 2000, wasn't it? And so it's a little slab, it's a little piece of stone rock slate from Whitehaven. And it's just round the corner from where the Coast Guard thing is. But I don't disagree with Douglas Head being a conservation area. It should be, and should have been years ago. But a large part of that land up there was owned by, what was his name, lived out the Corony.
Oh, Mr. Whip.
That's it, Mr. Whip, yeah. A large part of that land, Carney and etc., is all sheep farmed by him. Now, whether he still owns it or not, I don't know, but it's going to be difficult to implement anything in a conservation area on land that the government doesn't own. Because you know yourself, I've been boning down there at the Port of Shee for 2-3 years or more now about the trees. And I've been to Defra and various other places. It doesn't belong to us. There's nothing we can do. We can't enforce anything.
Well, the other thing is that, Douglas Head is not just where we are. As you say, it's further down. And if that's going to be a conservation area, well, what about what's going to happen to the old funicular railway and the old track bed there down to Port Skillion and everything? They were historic, very historic places at one time.
I've actually ridden on that railway. I know, go on, call me an old fella, but I've ridden on it because it didn't finish in 1954. And that ran up, as you say, from the bottom, up through to over the pathway and up to the just alongside those apartments. You used to get offered up there. And yes, it's but there's a demarcation line there. The part of the steps that you go down to the camera obscura, let's say that's the demarcation line. If you're looking inland, to the right of that is Douglas Town Council. To the left of it is DOI. So the DOI will only come through to those steps going down from the apartments. The corporation, they look after the rest of it, to cut the grass and keep everything reasonably tidy. And they've done all the work there with the benches, barbecues and everything. So this is, this smacks of just another layer of taking another half dozen people to do paperwork in an office and have nothing else to do with the area, because if it is private land, the government can say, I want such and such done, I want this retained, but they can only register it, and that means nothing. Okay. Not these days.
Well, you'd be happy to know they've been cutting the grass this morning on Douglas Head. Smells gorgeous.
They haven't cut my daffodils down, have they?
I don't know.
They do it every year.
No,
when Julian was talking there before about walking for everyone, that sounds very much, well, the word house arrest comes in, because there's a lot of infirm elderly people who just cannot get out to walk.
And people with disabilities, Howard, as well.
Yeah. Well, my wife is losing the sight in one eye, and she suffers dreadfully from sciatica, a very painful situation, and she can't walk too far. So that there then would put my wife virtually under house arrest.
Yeah.
You know, it's a ridiculous situation. There's somebody sitting in an office again with a brilliant idea that doesn't reach the sound.
Okay. All right, Howard, thanks for calling today.
Take care.
All right,
bye
good
now.
To hear from you. Yeah, that Solway Harvester Memorial is down beneath us, down below us here on Douglas Head, to the Manx community, it says on the piece of stone, in grateful thanks for their compassion and generosity following the loss with all hands of Solway Harvester, January 2000. We'll see. But if you drive down there, if you walk down there on the lower part of Douglas Head, it is, quite frankly, a bit of a mess. And considering that historic funicular railway and everything, Portskillion Beach and the bathing down there, put it this way, it could be a lot tidier, let's say that. Is Stephen with us now? Hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. If I could just talk about the proposal for ID verification for travel on the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company,
yeah.
And looking at the consultation. Item one, what is your name? Item two, are you responding on behalf of an organization? Item three, which best describes your organization? Item four, how frequently do you use the services? Five, may we publish your responses? Then we go down to the next question is, what is the proposal? And then item six, considering the proposed introduction of a mandatory requirement for all passengers to carry ID whilst travelling, are there any specific groups that may require exemptions or special arrangements? And it gives you a box for replying on that. Item seven, what forms of ID should be accepted? And there's a box then. And do you have any views on how government and the Isle of Man Steam Packet can ensure smooth implementation? Well, wouldn't you have thought, Andy, or listeners, on a proposal such as this, the first question is, do you accept the premise of having IDs in the first place or not? Now, I would have thought most people, rational people, would accept that that was the first question. So this consultation, and if you remember, I said to the Chief Constable when he was on, and he said there will be a consultation on this document or on this proposal. Well, this is a flawed consultation in my mind, because there's no ability within this consultation to raise an objection to the very premise, should there be ID introduced? I don't know what you think, Andy, but I would have thought that's the very first question. And then we'll go on to implementation and how much inconvenience it will do. But there's some other points I'd like to share with the listeners to see what they think. Is number one is there's 630 movements in Douglas Harbour, 630,000 movements, that's in and out. So that's 630,000 checks that's going to have to take place. Who in the steam packet will be checked and GDPR compliant for this information? What happens if and when somebody is found to be a person of interest? There is no ability in Manx law to ban them from the island. Will they be then subject to being followed by the police officers? That would be a three-watch system, I would have thought. And it goes on with what will they do with the information? Where will the information be stored? How can we be sure it is stored safely and not going to be hacked? Or will this information be sold on to various organisations?
What do you think should happen, Stephen? What's your opinion?
Well, I don't think the case has been made to carry ID for the ferries. As you know, I'm a great supporter of civil liberties, and we've had no discernible problems to date, and I think this is something that the police certainly would want. I don't think the case has been made for it, because if we look at the next step, is the prison is absolutely bursting at the seams because the constabulary have used their resources to disrupt drug use. But Dr. Allinson is wanting to introduce a bill to lessen the criminal charges for those that use recreational drugs. So there's a lot of things to unpack, and I do hope that our MHKs ask some of these questions and don't simply nod this through on a whim because the chief constable has asked for it, and they frightened us all that we're all going to be murdered in our beds if we don't have this. None of that will happen. And as I say, there's lots of questions about the information. If somebody's found to be a person of interest, how much resources will be used, etc., etc. So that's my view, Andy. I don't know what yours and other listeners is. I'm sure most people will probably support them, this idea. I probably am. This is probably I need to call on the patron saint of lost causes for this particular aspect. But I do think there's a lot of questions that need to be asked to give the public confidence and protection from the information that can be gleaned and sold from this.
All right, we appreciate it, Stephen. Thanks for calling today. Thanks for your view today. 27 minutes before one. If you've got any thoughts on that, by all means do get in touch. You can text, email, call, you can WhatsApp. A note in from Lexi, who just says, Charles Gard has been campaigning with other residents to have Douglas Head designated. So government's agreed to that. It's not a government initiative. So this is something that Charles Gard has been behind. And a note in from Andy on 667 says, who is responsible? Does anybody know who's responsible for the Piero Theatre, or what used to be the Piero Theatre, behind Douglas Head Apartments on the seaside? Who owns that land? I would imagine it's the people who own the flats, the land, because they always keep it fairly well, the grass fairly well trimmed. But again, the Piero Theatre, very historic place. It was when Douglas Head, I mean, thousands of people used to come to Douglas Head in the height of the tourist trade on the Isle of Man, when the ferries used to take people across Douglas Harbour, and then they'd get on to the funicular railway and come up to Douglas Head. It would be absolutely packed in those days, and the shows by the Pieros. I just wish people would drive at 30 miles per hour in a 30-mile area. A lot don't. I've seen motorists driving at 40 on quiet residential roads in Douglas in a rural 30-mile-per-hour zone. This is possibly connected to the speed limit limit being lowered more. And a message in from Maureen, who just said, it's really simple, and I don't know why people don't see this. Instead of putting up 20 mile per hour limit signs, why don't they put those little radar things that tell you how fast you're going? I think it's, is it Glenvine or Crosby? They've got them there as you approach there, and it tells you how fast you're going, and there's a smile or a frown. Why don't they do that? Because if people don't understand how fast they're going, they could be told. So, no 20 mile per hour signs, because the police have said they're not going to enforce them anyway. So why don't we just have information and education, and then the drivers will learn more? Nearly 2,000 people have successfully applied for an ETA, an electronic travel authorization, ahead of their enforcement. It starts today. They've been a requirement for travel in to the UK from outside the Common Travel Area since February. The Common Travel Area is basically the British Isles. Applications opened earlier this month. 1,687 people now have one. Here's Treasury Minister Chris Thomas.
For the last fortnight or so, people have had the chance to apply. A few people have been turned down, I know of. Many, many people have got it. If people have got one from the UK, Jersey, Guernsey, it doesn't matter. It's still valid in the Isle of Man. You only have to have one. It's a UK system. You pay £20 for it. Children have to pay as well. It's valid for 2 years, no more than 6 months in any of those countries at one time. But you have to have one. It's not a substitute for a visa. It's permission to travel. And you have to have one. So, you know, unfortunately, make sure that people know if they want to come to the wonderful TT or anything else that's going on in the island, and they haven't already got one of these ETAs, either from the UK, Jersey, Guernsey or the Isle of Man, they need to have one from today.
And I think that's the key explainer, because when we did an article on this, when this was first announced, or when we shared it, we said, you know, if you're coming for the TT, then there's something to bear in mind. And people were like, well, there's no direct flights from Germany to at the Isle of Man. But it's that's the crucial part, isn't it? It's if you're going to the UK, you'll need one. So it's we're just that next step along the journey of this.
And basically, the UK wanted us to have our own system. The UK is kindly administering for it. It takes all of the £20. We don't get any of that money. It's a UK system, but legally we have control over our own laws, and we've chosen to use the UK legislation to extend it. And if you're primarily coming to the Isle of Man, please get one for the Isle of Man. But if you have one for the UK, you can come here.
That was Chris Thomas, MHK, on the electronic travel authorisation, which starts today. I'm just on Blackberry Lane, and a van just pulled up into the football ground and let seven dogs loose. They're fouling, it's not being picked up, says 223. Did you take a photo of it? That's the important thing.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
The exclusive Cartier store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Cartier sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
Give your home a facelift with Manx Glass and Glazing. Whether choosing aluminium or UPVC in traditional or contemporary styles, you can be sure of excellent workmanship and guarantees. Members of Construction Isle of Man and family run for over 40 years, Manx Glass and Glazing are committed to the local community, and they invest in future generations through their apprenticeship scheme. Visit the impressive showroom on Snugbridge Trading Estate. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
The Granite Centre in Laxey. For complete kitchen renovations, replacement worktops, and with over 35 distinct styles and finishes, there's a Kuka instant boiling water tap for every home. Call 612287 or visit thelaxeykitchenco.im today.
At Ramsey Garden Centre, enjoy exclusive savings and get inspiration for your home or garden. And as stock arrives every week, drop in or follow our Facebook page. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
We make oil heating easy with our range of services. Whether it's our free smart tank monitoring systems or just our efficient all-island deliveries, Ellen Vanning Fuels has it covered. Call us on 844-000 to find out more.
This evening at 6:30, join me, Fiona McArdle, for Shachlay.
She was a bit perturbed to see that some of her letters had been pasted into Rhoda's scrapbook that was there for all to see. And she, I think she writes something along the lines that Mr. Rhoda Carr has done a mean trick on me.
It's very exciting. We've got a full eight days of competition.
That's this evening at 6:30, Chatelet with Fiona McArdle.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Yeah, we're looking forward to the Guild, and of course you won't miss a trick. The Guild will be on all the time on Max Radio. More and more fully stocked up motorhomes seem to be coming to the Isle of Man, particularly during TT. Surely this affects spending in the local economy. Also last year, weren't there post-TT issues about grey water disposal? So what about a motorhome tax? Never mind a tourist tax. How about a motorhome tax? Might that be warranted? In Nobles Park, there are big signs everywhere about dog fouling. Keep dogs on a lead, no dog fouling, £1,000 fine. And yet some owners allow their dogs to run wild and, they totally ignore the signs, and police or Douglas Council won't take any action, even when it's reported. When was the last time anybody got done for that? I think I've asked this question a few times. When was the last time anybody was fined, let alone fined £1,000, because I'm willing to stake that if somebody were to be fined £1,000, nobody would do it anymore. People don't do it because it's worth the risk. They know they're not going to be caught. So until people start being caught and fines start being levied, why would anybody bother? Why didn't the Attorney General say something about the assisted dying legislation if it hasn't passed muster in Westminster? Where was our Attorney General? Yesterday, said Sue, you mentioned low numbers of children in our primary schools. The trouble with primary schools is that some are bursting at the seams, others appear to be underpopulated. Head teachers apparently aren't allowed to say the school is full like they can in the UK. This means that children are being stuffed into some schools while others need more pupils. Schools shouldn't be obliged to take children from outside the catchment area, and they should be redirected elsewhere once comfortable capacity is reached, says Sue. We haven't heard of anything. We haven't heard of that, and we haven't heard... Were they talking about Doon School once upon a time that was a bit under capacity, or... I wonder what's happening now, and particularly with more people coming and more people with dependents, and that's what this is about. Texter 522 said, you're talking about translators in primary school. Absolutely correct. My son had two in his reception class and one of around 10 English-speaking children. Henry Bloom Noble has many different nationalities and is now planning to install a container classroom on the grounds to cope with the increase in students. And Sue said much the same thing. Thank you, Sue. Texter 234, this is regarding healthcare and the assisted dying legislation. Watching my brother slowly die from a rare progressive disease. Nothing can be done. There's no quality of life, no mobility, no speech, but full mental awareness. My brother wants to go with dignity. Marie said, I completely agree with your caller regarding dependents. Why will nobody answer the questions that they and others ask for sometimes? When people come here and they have dependents, who pays for them? Do they claim benefits? What happens to all this? And Les in Sulby, you're talking about caravans, freestanding caravans, all campsites on the Isle of Man except caravans. As for comments that they're not suitable for our roads, well, haven't people seen articulated lorries driving around? They seem to cope okay. So somebody with a caravan, unless you're suggesting people who've got a caravan and tow a caravan, can't drive, which is a different thing. Claire Christian said that anybody from within the common travel area, says 134, would not have to pay for care with Manx Care, while others would pay £1,000 per family over 5 years. However, says Reichard, the actual cost per person, including social care, is over £5,000 a year. I'm assuming you've got figures for this. A family of four from outside the UK could receive about £20,000 per year in care or £100,000 over 5 years while only paying £1,000 a year. That doesn't seem like covering the true cost of care. Sammy said, I read a BBC News report suggesting that attracting qualified medical professionals to the British Isles may contribute to shortages in their home countries, as salaries are higher in the Western world. While we need skilled staff, perhaps more should be done to train our own and stop taking other people's. And regarding the 2021 census, I believe ours wasn't fully completed, as some individuals in our household weren't even included. Any thoughts? And finally, I think there should be stronger support for palliative care on the Isle of Man and more focus on those who are seriously ill. Thanks for that. Next Monday, Tim Johnston, MHK, and Andrew Stewart, the Minister and Chief Officer from the Department for Enterprise, are on. Tim Johnston, the Chief Minister, was due to be on next Wednesday, but he's not now. We've slipped that back until Monday, May the 11th. So the Chief Minister is on Monday, May the 11th. So whatever's on your mind, by all means, do get in touch. Spoke to the census yesterday, says 121, and they said so many paper copies have been asked for, so there's a good chance that a lot won't get them, because it said you've got to fill them in as if it's the 26th of April. And they understand that lots won't be sent in time. Surely they thought about this before. The ideal law is not about catching criminals, it's all about your control, says Desmond. It's a conspiracy, Desmond. It's all about, they want your DNA next. I'm going to Portugal, direct flight and back. Do I need one of those travel things? I'm sure you'll find out. Would you please stop talking about at lunchtime? This has been, I must go back 30-odd years. People said this years and years ago. Well, we wouldn't have to talk about, you know, if people didn't allow their dogs to. What are the ramifications, says Belly the Plumber, if I refuse to fill in the census form, which I certainly will not be doing? Isn't the travel £20 per person just the same as a visitor tax in different wording, and then the Isle of Man government wants to put a further visitor tax on top? And who gets the £20 per person from the UK, like the TT visitors? Well, that's a very good point. In fact, I got a message in from, I think it was a lady with an Italian-sounding name, Verona. It was Verona who said two things about this tourism tax. How much is it going to be? And who gets the money? What are they going to spend this money on? This sounds like fining people who actually come here to spend money. Tourists won't be taxed for coming to the Isle of Man, but not yet anyway. The Enterprise Minister's told us no plans to bring in a tourism tax during this administration, which of course runs into the buffers later on in August. In Timwell this week, Tim Johnston put forward a report compiled by Visit Isle of Man, which looked at if whether it should be considered. This is what Tim Johnston had to say.
In many parts of the world, it is often used as a tool to discourage tourism, or where there's over-tourism, where damage is caused, the ability to raise funds to be able to counter that. That is not the situation here. It's not the situation in the UK where a lot of these levies have been brought in. It's also about raising funds. It's about making sure, certainly from our point of view, we would want to see is that funding reinvested in the tourist sector on the island to improve our facilities, improve our infrastructure, and therefore to increase our footfall. It's that circular plan. That's what it's all about.
Presumably something like a tourism tax would be able to assist in terms of marketing the island and potentially growing the number of tourists that come.
I think that's why it is worthy of consideration. That's why it's important to sit down with the sector, understand what it is broadly, what it can be used for, what are the unique challenges we have on the island that they might be able to address, and take everybody on that journey. That's what we should be doing. So from my point of view, that to me is sort of the next stage. I mean, I think the consultation we've had up till now, it was a good starting point. But I think, you know, it's only a starting point.
I mean, you said that it's not going to happen during this administration. Is it something that you would imagine will be picked up by the next administration?
The visit agency are going to carry on working on this. So I think the important thing is that's important they do that, so that the next administration has something to pick up and look at. It'll be for them to decide. But again, this is not this shouldn't be a political decision as such. The whole point of having the visit agency and the agency model and having those individuals sitting on the board who are in the sectors is they're the ones who are understanding it and making the decisions and talking to their colleagues in the wider sector and getting the feedback. If they collectively feel that this is something that it's good to think about, then that's the way to take it forward. This is not a political decision. This has got to be a much broader buy-in than that.
That was Tim Johnston, MHK, the Enterprise Minister. Kerry dropped a note in to say, Andy, I can understand tourism tax if you're in Barcelona or if you're on the Costa del Sol, where it's absolutely rammed with tourists and the locals have got nowhere to buy. But it's the Isle of Man, there's lots of space. Why are we fining tourists coming to the Isle of Man? And of course, they've not mentioned how much it's going to cost. That's the first thing. Make it granular. Tell us how much you think you're going to... Is it going to be a fiver? Tenner? Is it going to be on bed nights in hotels? Are they going to have to collect it? Even if... Let's just say every tourist who... Let's just say we get 200,000 tourists here a year. We get more, but let's just say if we get 200,000 tourists and we charge everybody a fiver for coming here, that's £1 million. What's it going to be used for? Is it just going to slip into the bottom line and go into the general cash register? Or is it going to be ring-fenced in a fund, let's say, for advertising? Maybe buy some television advertising. You know that real people watch television advertising. Maybe put up some big static posters here, there and everywhere. Years ago, it may not be appropriate, but years ago, when I first came to Manx Radio, I remember seeing adverts for the Isle of Man on the London Underground. Now, millions of people use the London Underground and they stand gazing at posters. That was when I think we had a company called Saltmarsh who were doing our PR. So, if we do this, if we do charge people, what's the money going to be used for? Will it be ring-fenced? What will it be used for? What do you think?
It's nearly time to cash in with Vintage Cash Out's Isle of Man Roadshow. From Monday the 27th of April to Friday the 1st of May, come to Vintage Cash Out's Roadshow for free expert appraisal on gold and silver jewellery, watches and other antiques and valuables. Selling your stuff couldn't be easier. No booking needed and no pressure to sell. Just turn up on the day and you can walk away with guaranteed instant payment. The Vintage Cash Out Roadshow, coming next week. Find us on Facebook for daily updates.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
Day's getting lighter now, fella.
Aye, I just got myself a scudge of Manx Magic Compost from Hearth. Brilliant stuff, and delivered to me driveway.
Who's that? Hearth? I thought they did solid fuel.
Aye, they do, and they do this excellent compost too. Can't wait to see the results, yes.
All delivered? That sounds good. Saves humping it back from the store in the car, and great that it's made locally. I'll be giving Hearth a call for me compost too.
For all your fire, fuel and compost needs, call Hearth on 560 577 or visit hearth.co.com.
Hello, I'm BethEsby.com, Manx Radio's head of biker podcasts. In this general election year, Manx Radio will have an almost interminable number of programmes in the run-up to the big day when you can choose who to bin off. And for the first time, we're also hosting a live show aimed at helping all those tens of young and first-time voters, or those who've just forgotten, through the complex issue of voting. That is, confirming your name and address, stepping into a cubicle, and putting an X next to the name of someone you think isn't going to be completely useless. So join us at IM1 Voting for Dummies, live at the Peel Centenary Centre from 7:30pm on the 16th of May. Tickets available online at centenarycentre.com, from Celtic Gold in Peel or OMA in Ramsey. Voting for Dummies, laughing in the face of democracy.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
6 minutes before one, I applied for 2 vehicle licences online last week. Still haven't got the discs for them. How is this progress? Previously, you just went to the post office, you paid, you got one there and then, and you put it in your vehicle. I wonder. As of March 2024, says Texter 223, there were no successful prosecutions or fixed penalties issued by the Alabama Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture for dog fouling in the previous 7 years. As 2017 to 2024, despite reports of dog fouling, officials have not taken legal action against offenders within that period, says that correspondent. I was very sad to hear about Wilf. He'll be sadly missed, as will his wisdom. I see lots of new faces when I go shopping. Most of the people I know are unwell or grieving for long-lost ones. I've lost many friends. So thank you, Manx, Will. Wilf Young's funeral is next Wednesday, by the way. Next Wednesday, Wilf's funeral is going to be at St. Paul's Church in Ramsey at 12 noon, followed by a private cremation, family flowers only. If you want to donate anything, you need to make it to the Queen's Speir Restoration Fund, a cause very close to Wilf's heart. So Wilf Young's funeral is next Wednesday at 12 midday. As I mentioned, Tim Johnston is going to be here on Monday with Andrew Stewart, the DfE Minister and Chief Officer. So if you want to bring anything up about the visitors levy and what, and obviously he'll say, well, it's an agency, because they've got lots of agencies, finance, digital, locate and visit and what have you. So, I just wonder whether you think that it's a good, in principle, is it a good idea?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Hey, thank you, Rich. He said the Isle of Man already has a tourist tax. It's called the Steam Packet. Dear me. Travel to it. Instead of kicking off about people spending a fortune to travel to the Isle of Man with a motorhome, get some accommodation in place. £700 a week to stay in a tent. Is that the best the Isle of Man can do? Says on the letter, contact the Census Office from the 26th of April. I need a form. I was going to phone them as directed by this letter, says Liz D. Do listeners understand what those big cruise ships dump off our sea? I don't think they're allowed to dump anything off our sea. But if you've got any inside information, I mean, unless it's just skeet, if you've got information, then please tell me. Could we use the revenue from any tourist tax to provide beer for advocates, says Jerry? Well, it's a thought. Although they couldn't smile anymore, could they, Jerry? Remember, out of hours. The answer phone's on 682 631. Love to hear from you. And you can also email maninline at manxradio.com. In the meantime, Alex is on tomorrow with another open line. Thanks to Howie on the phones, and I'll be back on Monday with Tim Johnston, MHK. Enjoy your Thursday.
WINT.